tear me apart, but I am strong, I am strong. No matter how hard you try, I'll never let you see my tears. I finally found a place where I belong, I belong. I'll rise beyond the soar above my fears. I will fight through all the pain. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I am Abdul Hakim Qasim and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim reaching you live on Women Radio WFM 91.7. Today, the third day of Dhul Qa'dah, 1445 AH, corresponding to Saturday, 11th May 2024. On this show, we try to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. So inshallah, my guest is very much here, and I'm also standing in for Hajja Rashida. So don't be surprised if the voice you hear is actually that of a male on Women Radio. So I am Abdul Hakim Qasim, like I said earlier, and today, inshallah, bikudratillah, I will be talking about something very, very important and open to everyone, and that has to do with finding the balance. But before then, the nasheed that you listened to, in case you're wondering, what was that? That was a song by Mahir Zain, and the title of that track is Breaking the Chains, Breaking Every Chain. So by Mahir Zain. So you can actually go online to download and have a copy of it. It's very, very interesting. So on the program today, we want to look at finding the balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, God says that the ummah, this community, is ummatan wasatan. And the term ummatan wasatan is taken from the Quran chapter 2, that's Surah Al-Baqarah, the cow, verse 143. And it means that we are the middle community, a community that is essentially characterized by moderation and balance. So on the program today, we would like to clarify the meaning of this concept in a comprehensive manner and provide a compass for listeners to help them navigate life in a way that will achieve moderation and balance in the deen, that is, in their religion, in their life generally, and in their personal relationships. And my guest to take us through this is Dr. Sulaiman Ogumoyewa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right. For those of you who don't know, Dr. Sulaiman Olagoke Ogumoyewa is a director and head of the Education Quality Assurance Services Unit of Lagos State Ministry of Basic and Secondary Education. Probably for those who don't know, the Education Ministry in Lagos has actually been divided into two. We now have Ministry for Tertiary Education, and we have the Ministry of Basic and Secondary Education. So Dr. Sulaiman Ogumoyewa is a director in that Ministry of Basic and Secondary Education. He has more than 25 years of experience as a licensed counselor, and at the same time, he is a fellow of the Institute of Islamic Finance Professionals, IIFP. He also is the chairman, Board of Incorporated Trustees of First Class Muslim Foundation. Again, I welcome Dr. Sulaiman Ogumoyewa to Everyday Muslim Show on WFM. Assalamu alaikum once again.
Again, Walaikum Salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So it's a pleasure to have you on this show. And for our listeners out there, you can be part of this program. When the time comes, I'll let you know when it is time to start calling in. But then for your record purpose, you can call on 07000. That is 07000-917-917. I'll take that again. 07000-917-917. And alternatively, you can send an SMS or a WhatsApp message to the number 0703-175-6537. 0703-175-6537. So we dive in straight into the topic, finding a balance. So Dr. Ogunriwa, probably to start with, can you explain to us the concept of Ummatan Wasatan as described in the Quran, and what is the significance? What significance does this concept hold for Muslims in today's world?
Thank you very much once again. I also want to appreciate MPAC and Everyday Muslim for what they are doing. It's always very nice to be here. The topic, finding the balance, is basically talking about how to maintain a balance in all spheres of life. And in the Quran, Allah himself has told us about that from the verse that you quoted earlier. Ummatan wasatan is an Arabic word that appears in the Quran, specifically in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 143, where Allah said, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونُ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. He said, we have thus made you a justly balanced community, so that you can be a witness over mankind, and the Prophet can also be a witness over you. This means that Islam wants us, Allah wants us to be a middle community, a community that is not too much to the left or too much to the right. And this moderate community is referring to the Muslim community, where we are supposed to also guide other people and be a very good example to them. And also, if it is a nation, then it means we are supposed to be a justly balanced nation. And today, this concept is very, very important, because we have seen a lot of extreme views in all aspects of life. And if I give you this example, it will be funny, to the extent that somebody can tell you that water is life, so water can cure all diseases. And you see somebody drinking water all his life. I say, yes, because water is curative, water is this. But water alone can't do it. So that's one extreme. So we need to find a balance in everything that we are doing. So as Muslims, three things are important from the verse. Moderation is the first one. Second one is balance. And the last one is role model. We are supposed to be a role model to all other people to copy, because we are a middle balanced community. And in several hadiths of the Prophet, let me just justify that to support the verse of the Quran. Rasulullah said, moderation is best in all matters. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Again, in another hadith, he said, the best of action is that which is moderate and constant. And in another hadith, he said, avoid excessiveness in your religion, for excessiveness has destroyed many people before you. And finally, he said, the moderate ones will be the first to enter paradise, and that Allah loves all that is moderate in their matter. So these are things telling us as Muslims that we have to be moderate in everything that we do.
I'm trying to look at it this way. So how does being part of the middle community, this Ummatan Wasata that you talk about now, relate to achieving moderation and balance in one's faith? Because trying to look at it, there are probably requirements for one to be able to be part of that community, and so such that if you're not a member of that community, that can now probably assist you to achieve moderation and balance in one's faith.
Yes, the moment you are a Muslim, you belong to this community, because the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, Hadith of the Prophet, is our guidance. And all that the Quran and the Hadith is telling us is to be moderate in everything that we do. So when you belong to the community, you now try to find a balance and not go to the extreme of anything that you do. And during the time of the Prophet, there were people who accepted Islam and they wanted to go to one extreme. Three of them, one said, "Oh, since we have been told to fast, I will fast all my life. Every day of my life, I will be fasting." Another one said, "Okay, since I'm supposed to pray in the midnight tahajjud, I will use all my night for tahajjud. I won't sleep again, ever in my life." And the last one says that, "Though I have a wife, but I don't think I have time for my wife again. I will move close to my wife. I'll just go." So, because they belong to a community, somebody's, you know, had this. I went to the Prophet and said, "Some people are planning to do this." He said, "Go and bring them." And he said, "I'm the best amongst you. I fast, I break my fast." They said, "The best you can do is to fast today and break your fast the next day and fast the next day. That is the highest you can go.
Alternating the days."
Alternating the days. Then he said, "See, I sleep. I wake up to pray tahajjud, I sleep back. So you can't use all your nights to sleep. And I have wives. I have time for them. I have time that I have for my God." So it means that when you belong to the community, there's these checks and balances that comes from people. Unlike if you are just alone. When you are alone, you know, in your own world, you'll be going to the extreme and you will not know. But when you find yourself in this community, it makes you to be. And it also brings a kind of humility. You humble yourself. I remember meeting a brother, and every time we discussed, he would tell me, "Within 2 weeks, I have prayed tahajjud for 14 days. I say, "Wow, 14 days. So at times when I pray tahajjud for 7 out of 14 or 9 out of 14, I feel I'm good. But this other person, 14, doing 14 out of 14. So it humbles you. You understand? It humbles you because you belong to a community. This is one of the things that it will do for you, and it makes you find your balance easily.
All right. But you know, just the example that you gave now, how then is it now possible that in today's world we have a whole community with probably extremist ideas, or probably putting themselves together? You know, there was this time that we had in Nigeria where some people decided that, okay, let us extract ourselves away from the general community. Let us establish our own community somewhere else. And they are the ones that have probably they share the same understanding in such a case. So would you say that they are also trying to establish their own middle community, or taking themselves out of the general society to form a separate community probably be going towards the extreme where they cannot tolerate other ideas? So how would you react to that?
Islam is just one community. Allah said in the Quran that ummatan wasatan, and it is ummatan wa'idan. It is one community. Now within that community, when you see yourself drifting away from the central of that community, when your idea becomes different from the idea of the general community, then it means you are going to the extreme. You are not the ummatan wasatan any longer. Now the Muslims will always be at the center of the community. Okay. And that is why it has been said that there is no way that everyone will come together as Muslims and they will go on a straight path. Allah would never do that for us. The moment we are many and we are on one path, it means we are on the right path. It is the few who have been able to now extract themselves away from the community that is going to one extreme. So that is one of the things that you will know, you will see, to know that you're actually moving to one particular extreme. It is always good to be within the community and try to see how we can move together.
Okay. I think I want us to probably also break this down a bit now, because we're talking about being moderate and you don't want to be extreme. Now, are there different levels of extremes that could be possible? Because probably if you are saying extreme, the general understanding in today's world is there are extremists, so to say. But do we have probably on the other end to probably those who are very lax and not even ready to do anything. So that we're not just probably trying to have a focus or probably restricting ourselves to just some people, which is these are the people that we call the extremists. Can we also have possible extremism or some other people probably that are not even ready to do anything or don't really even have any understanding?
Yeah, so that takes me to some of the misconceptions, you know, that surrounds issues like this. Some people see moderation as mediocrity.
Okay,
I give an example. You are supposed to pray two raka. You are going to pray rawatib, which is 12 raka in a day.
Okay.
So for us,
probably for those that don't understand rawatib, you are talking about those voluntary units of prayers, apart from the five compulsory ones that we have in a day. So
yes,
it could be before the main prayer or after the main prayer. That's what we mean by rawatib.
Yes. So after the midday prayer, you are supposed to pray 4 raka.
Okay.
When you get to the mosque, then you join the whole congregation to pay 2 raka. Mm-hmm. Then after it, you pay another 2 raka.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if somebody now comes to the mosque and see another person doing this, and says, this one is too much, why don't you just pray the 2 raka and go?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm trying to be moderate. No. Moderation does not mean mediocrity. Some people, even because they want to be moderate, I have seen a professor telling us that instead of praying 5 times in a day, why don't you pray 3 times in a day?
Wow.
That's what I make it moderate. No, this is not acceptable. This is another extreme of what you are trying to talk about, you know, extremism. The other part of it is, laxity. The other one is now the extreme, taking things beyond the limit. So these are some of the misconceptions as it comes to those challenges.
All right. Thank you very much, sir, for that, clarification. So now, how then, because we're talking about a world where things are moving at a very, very fast pace, so such that people are actually struggling to keep pace with developments in the world. So how then can individuals strike a balance between religious devotion and engagement with the modern world, with their jobs, careers, families, and all the obligations within the society generally?
Yeah, so striking a balance between
religious devotion
and the engagement with modern world requires an intentional effort. You have to be intentional about it, and there must be a high level of self-awareness on the part of you, and you have to be very flexible. So I've mentioned some few things that can help. The first one is setting priorities for yourself. You must have priorities, set clear priorities, and allocate time for your spiritual growth, for your family, for your work, and for your personal development. None of this should override the other. So you have to intentionally allocate some time for each of these. For example, if I go to work, I get busy from 8. Okay, when I get to work, the first thing I do, I spend some few minutes reading the Quran. 5-10 minutes. After that, I get involved in the work. I work till around 1. I go for prayers. I know that when I'm going for prayers, I'm also going to spend some extra 10 minutes to do some devotion. So you have to prioritize and set some timeline for this. Also integrate your religious devotion into whatever that you are doing. I once went to Pakistan. I met a professor from Yemen. We spent about 2 weeks together, and all the while, in a silent moment, you see him saying something. Right from the airport, because the same bus took off from the airport. I'll just see him saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah. Then he'll keep quiet. Then after a while, say, La ilaha illallah, he'll keep quiet. And I started wondering. So one day we were at the table for breakfast. He said, Sulaiman, say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. I said, I'm saying it. He said, no, say it out. You know, try to integrate into your life. Your religious awareness, the presence of God in your life, so that this integration becomes total. It's not going to be like, oh, when I'm at work, I'm at work, I don't remember Allah. When I'm in the mosque, I don't remember any other thing. No, you have to integrate, and you have to be mindful about this. This is where mindfulness comes in. And that is why I'm so much impressed with the way technology is being used even by Muslims. There's a particular gadget, I put it in my car, and every 7 minutes it will remind me of remembering Allah. Every 7 minutes. So when I travel, there is no way I drive for about 1 hour, I will have spent some two minutes in between to remember Allah. So this is how you, also on your phone, you can set alarm for askar, you can set alarm for salat, you can set alarm for several other things. So we need to really use technology, you know, to help us in our religious devotion and also guide us in setting targets and priorities in all other aspects of our life. And more importantly too is self-care. You have to self-care. There's no way you want to, you know, be involved in your professional life to the detriment of your health, to the detriment of your devotion. And you can also, you know, engage in so much devotion that you even forget yourself and you don't even know anything about your professional calling. So by embracing these strategies, individuals, you know, can find harmony, you know, in trying to find a balance between their religious devotion and the modern
engagements. All right, thank you very much. So invariably, so the bottom line is we have to be deliberate and it requires serious planning. All right, so the same way we have asked concerning you know, striking a balance between religious devotion and personal engagement, so I want to bring it down to interaction with people now, social interaction. So can you probably give us some practical steps and probably principles of Islam that can help people, individuals generally, maintain balance in their interpersonal relationships, interactions with families, friends, colleagues, community members, professional associations and what have you, generally, basically interaction with others, you know, now beyond your own personal devotion now and interaction with your creator, now relating with others. So how can we achieve a balance in this regard?
So Islam offers us numerous practical steps and principles to maintain balance in personal relationship and interaction with others. The first one that comes to mind is what is called adab, which is etiquette. Islam has so many etiquettes guiding our relationship with others. How we practice good manners, how you show kind of respect, how you show kindness to others in every interaction. And this is what makes you to maintain a kind of a balance. You work in an office where people, you know, free mix. As a Muslim, you have your adab. When a man and a woman will see and hug in the corridor, as a Muslim that has adab and you are trying to maintain a balance, you also must create your boundaries. You don't do that. You don't hug other women that you are not married to. So these are adab that we need to actually practice. Second one is, at everything you do, you practice ihsan, which is excellence. In everything you do, even the Prophet told us that even if you want to slaughter an animal, you do it in the best way. You know, make sure you sharpen your knife very well and you do it. This is just telling us that whatever you want to engage in as a Muslim finding a balance, you must be excellent in what you do, in the way you treat others, living things or non-living things, even flowers, how you relate with them. You have to show excellence. And you have to be patient with people. This is one principle that is very, very important. For us to live in a community, we have to be patient with ourselves. We have to cultivate patience and understanding in dealing with other people's flaws and mistakes. And also we have to show compassion, showing mercy and empathy towards others, because Allah himself shows us a lot of mercy, a lot of compassion, and we also have to do the same thing for people that we relate with. Forgiveness is something that is also very important. When we are in a community, when you are relating with people, there are always be things they do that, you know, are not, you know, totally good towards you. You have to learn to forgive and also show a kind of humility. And finally is you have to practice what is called active listening. Yeah, this is very important when you relate with others, not forgetting the fact that you have to respect other people's boundaries. When people say I don't like this, or I don't do this, you have to respect those things and ensure that. So when you embrace some of these principles, you will be able to cultivate a kind of a balance and, you know, experience harmonious relationship with others. Also showing the beauty of Islamic values to others. And they say, you have people say, oh, this is just the way you are, and I think you are just good, and that's fine.
I love that. Especially the one that has to do with the fact that respecting other people's boundaries. And I think that's very, very important. Mutual respect. Respect me, I respect you. Know my do's and don'ts, my likes and dislikes. I should know yours too, and I should relate with you on the basis of that. And I think that's very, very important for us to take note of. Now, moving on, actually. Now that we have talked about our interaction with others, because we're talking about a balanced community, finding a balance, and we know quite well that within the society, we have diversity of various kinds, racial or ethnic diversity, religious diversity, socioeconomic diversity, and the likes like that. So how does the concept of Ummat and Wasata, this, the middle community, promote harmony and cooperation within diverse communities, both within the Muslim community and even with people of other faiths, other beliefs, and what have you?
Thank you very much. Most especially because Muslims don't live in an island. We live within people, and I think if there is any group that has been misunderstood, I think it is the Muslims that have been understood.
Absolutely.
And this is just because of the different community of Muslims who have been displaying different kind of one extreme to the other. So it brings a bit of confusion. But let me put it straight that when you have a balanced community among the Muslims, it is the best community that you can ever relate with.
Okay.
Because in that kind of a community, you are sure that justice and fairness will always be upheld.
Okay.
During the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was a Jew who took the Prophet himself to court. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam appeared. And one of the things is that at another time, I think when after the Prophet, there was a Caliph who was also taken to court. He was the one that appointed the judge. So when he entered the court, the judge stood up and he said, you are fired. It means you can't do justice in this matter. Now, what I actually want to emphasize is that the Jew that took the Prophet to court won at the court. And this is what we are talking about, justice. It does not matter. There is no immunity for the Prophet. The Prophet has been challenged several times about, okay, why did you do this, and how did you do this, and he will explain. And also, the leaders of the Muslims that came after him have shown to us that in a moderate community of the Muslims, there will always be justice and fairness. The second thing is that there will always be compassion. Again, a Jew went to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, I'm hungry. And at that time, the Prophet was hungry, but somebody gave him a beef. And the Prophet took the beef and gave to the Jew. I said, this is the only thing that I have. Take it and go and feed yourself. The Jew left there and went to the market to announce that I have never seen this kind of prophet before. I have never seen this kind of community before. I am not part of their community. I went to beg and I saw compassion. He said, if any one of you needs anything, go to the Muslims, you will get it. It means in the community, in a justly balanced community that we are talking about, which the Muslims are supposed to be the epitome of it, there will always be compassion. And like you said, respect. Respecting other people's, belief. Tolerating other people within you is also one of the things that you will see. It will surprise people that during the time of the Prophet, there were Jews who do not believe in Islam, they were Christians living with him. And all of them were protected under the banner of Islam. This is the kind of community that we are talking about. And in such community too, we are going to have a lot of education, a lot of engagement. Why are you doing this? Why are we doing this? Because when you understand yourselves, when you understand why the other person is thinking this way, it fosters a lot of, you know, understanding
absolutely,
and tolerance. And you know that this person that wakes up in the morning to make a call at around 5:30 is not deliberately disturbing your sleep. And we have to be moderate about it. So it means the moment you make the adhan, you put off the mic, because some people are still sleeping until the time you now want to, you now want to pray. So what I'm trying to say is that when we embrace Ummatan Wasatan, a justly balanced community, in any of our you know, Muslim communities, we are going to bridge the gap and build understanding with people. We'll foster a culture of cooperation and mutual respect. We celebrate our diversity and not emphasize and fight, rather promote that inclusiveness in whatever we are doing. And we address conflicts, you know, and resolve issues peacefully, you know, amidst us, and finally create an harmonious society for everyone to live. This is the way that Ummatan Wasatan can help us to promote harmony and cooperation within our diverse communities.
All right. So, but probably quickly on that one, because I also want a situation where people don't get to misconstrue what exactly we're saying. So, should that actually signify probably compromise, or that probably I have to let go of this probably religious standard just because I want to sound appealing to the other people? Or how exactly, where then do we now maintain you know, the limits exactly? Because some people will tell you, oh, you're only trying to sound appealing, that is not it in your religion. So that you say, okay, these people you know, there is no equality in the way you apply the law, that if a Muslim gets this, this is what a Muslim, non-Muslim doesn't get, and things like that. So what exactly are we saying? So should that mean compromise, that one should compromise one's faith because you're trying to appeal to the other? Or what exactly?
What we're saying in three sentences is, number one, we want to share understanding.
Absolutely.
Understand other people's faith.
Good.
And what they are doing.
Wow.
And secondly is that respect boundaries.
Lakum
dinukum waliyati. Your religion is your religion, my religion is my religion.
Okay.
It's not going to mean that because I want to appeal to you, I now live a part of my religion, or I come to do your own religion. No. You do your religion. I'm happy with what you are doing, it's okay. And I do my religion. So that is the second thing that we are trying to also emphasize here.
Okay.
And the third one is that we have to tolerate ourselves.
Okay.
You know, this world is not meant for one group of people. It is meant for everyone. It takes God, or it takes Allah, nothing to make all of us one faith. And everybody is either one faith, and that will be all. But Allah himself wants to see how we are going to relate with ourselves. He's going to judge us how you have been able to, you know, even your faith that you have, how have you related with other people?
Yeah.
Have they been able to get fairness? Have they been able to get
justice
from you?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. So, again, for our listeners, this is Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7, and we have been discussing finding the balance, and our guest is Dr. Sulaiman Olagoke Ogunmuyiwa, a director with the Ministry of Basic and Secondary Education, Lagos State. The phone number is 07000-917-917. It's time now, you can be part of the discussion. So the number to call in again is 07000-917-917. You can also send an SMS or a WhatsApp message to the number 0703-175-6537. All right. So, as we expect interaction from our listeners, so with all that we have discussed now, finding a balance, so how can individuals recognize when they are out of balance, when probably they are moving away from the middle course? And what steps can they take to realign themselves with moderation and balance so that they can come back to that middle course?
Okay, so let me explain this with one quotation. It is said to be an hadith Qudsi, an hadith where it is like Allah himself addressing us. And Allah said in that hadith that, O son of Adam, do not be afraid of any power or sovereignty. As long as my sovereignty remains, and my sovereignty will never cease. Mm. He said, O son of Adam, do not fear tightened sustenance. As long as my storehouses are full and my storehouses are never empty. O son of Adam, I created you to worship me, so don't play. I have already set your share of sustenance, so do not make yourself tired. I created you to worship, so don't play. And I guarantee your sustenance, so don't make yourself tired. I swear by my glory and might, if you are content with what I have allocated for you, I will bring comfort, peace to your heart and body, and you will be praised by me. On the other hand, if you are not content with what I have allocated for you, I swear by my glory and might, I will set the world loose on you, where you will run just like animals run in the wilderness, and you will still not get more than what I have originally allocated for you. O son of Adam, I created the seven heavens and hearts effortlessly, so will it trouble me to simply send a loaf of bread your way? O son of Adam, do not ask me of tomorrow's sustenance, just like I will not ask you for tomorrow's deed. O son of Adam, I love you, so by my right over you, you must love me. This Alice is telling us clearly, you know, when you are getting moving out of, you know,
line.
The Umatan Wasatan. I want to emphasize there that Allah talks about sustenance, because one of the things that take people out of the way is what they want to eat. Allah says that whatever is your share, I have allocated you. And if you are okay with what I've allocated for you, you will find comfort and peace in your heart. But if you say no, I must make money by all means, I must make it by all means, and you work 24 hours or you work more than 24 hours in a day, Allah said, you will strive and strive, I will make you run like animals walk in the wilderness, and you will still not get more than the original portion, original share that I've allocated for you.
Wow.
And I think this is very deep. So for us to be able to maintain, you know, moderation, and also recognize whether we are still in line,
stepping out of it.
Yes, we have to look at our boundaries and see, am I living those values that I, you know, hold very dear to my heart? For example, you don't lie. But because you want to make it, you have found yourself at a workplace where you have to do some lying just to be able to increase your riches. So when you have those boundaries and you see yourself moving away from those values, then it means you are going offline. Secondly is, when you care less about yourself, you don't care about your spiritual life, you don't care about your mental wellness, all because you are just looking for a way to make it in life. When your self-care is not prioritized, it means you are moving out of the middle community. You know, you are not paying due attention to your body, to your mind, to your spirit, to your family, to everything. Thirdly is, when you are not practicing mindfulness, you don't care about the situation now. It is time for Salat, you don't care. You don't go for Salat. You wait till you get home in the night and you pray all the four together or the five together. No. You have to be mindful. You have to be mindful of Allah in your life at every point in time. You need to know, what do we need to do now? What is the next thing for me to do? And you have to cultivate gratitude. when you cannot be grateful to God for what He has done for you.
Because you are thinking, so to say.
Yeah, because you are thinking that what has He done? Look at other people. And somebody gave me this example. He said, somebody took him to Ikoyi and said, see, look at big, big buildings. How come? Why am I not living here? Why am I not part of the people that owns the building here? He said, okay, no problem. Let me also take you somewhere else. So I took him to the hospital. And I saw somebody, they said, has been in the hospital for 2 years with his leg, you know,
hung
there. Somebody has been there on oxygen. Say, why are you not here? You should also be thankful. So when you don't practice gratitude, then it means that you are going out of work. And when you refuse to seek support, when you refuse to seek advice from people, because you just think that if I tell them, they won't give me the letter, and I know exactly what I want to do. I know
where exactly
it is only you, and it is just a mirage. Because you are the only one saying it. I know a lot of times when you travel long distance and you are the only one there, you look up, you see a kind of water ahead of you, it's a mirage. It's always there. And you know, finally, is that you need to always reevaluate yourself, reevaluate your goals. You evaluate whether you are still within the middle, because am I going to an extreme? Am I become, you know, lax in what I am doing? These are the things that you can do that will make you understand whether you are actually, you are still maintaining a balance in your life or not.
All right. Thank you very much. So we have this interaction on WhatsApp. The Pesaki did not identify the name. Says, Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Thanks to the host and guests on the program today. One of the challenges some secular scholars have identified with moderate faith practitioners is that moderates, rather than taking the word of God wholesale off the menu, they instead practice cherry picking. Picking and choosing only parts that they like and leaving the rest behind. Is this a valid argument? That's one. In calling to balance a middle path, the Quran states the purpose to be witnesses to mankind. Can the guest please help explain the pitfall of cherry-picking texts, rules, injunctions by some Muslims simply to appear not to be seen or called extremists by others? Does it mean that if a Muslim adheres with all the rules, values, injunctions, and restrictions in Islam equally, he cannot be a moderate? Thanks once again. I will appreciate the program. All right.
I think the concluding remark answers the question. Allah himself said, we are Ummatan Wasatan. He is the one that created that
community.
And he has put a balance in it. So when you practice Islam, not that you cherry pick, you do everything that Islam has told you, you'll be balanced. That is the meaning. Now, it is those who cherry pick that goes to one extreme or the other. It's either you go to the extreme or you go to become
lax.
But if you take everything as a whole, comprehensiveness of the message, then you are going to become balanced. That is the meaning of the message that Allah has said to us. And you know, when he said, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, that I have made you, except for a purpose, وَتَكُونُ شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, so that you can be a witness unto mankind. People can look at you and say, look at them, they are very balanced. So it's only when you see a Muslim that is balanced, a Muslim that is moderate, that is the person that has taken the whole together. Remember, Allah said, enter into Islam wholeheartedly. Not that you pick a part and you leave a part.
Okay. We also have this from one of our listeners who goes by the name Bola. She says, Assalamu alaikum. The guest said on the time of the Prophet, someone in the community heard something and went to the Prophet who corrected it. In the present day Muslim community, each person is for himself or herself. There is no community now that stands for justice or where a Muslim can resort to. So what can we do in that regard?
If truly we are a middle community, a balanced community, then there must be that instrumentality of justice within us. It is because we are still struggling to be that community that Allah has told us to be. And that is why some social institutions are missing, some justice institutions are missing, because we are still struggling to be. But the moment we have, Allah has said, وَهَذَا اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَا يَسْتَخَلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ.
Mr.
He said he has promised those who believe and engage in righteousness that he will establish you on the surface of the earth. And he said it will change your situation of, you know, fear to that of peace towards the end of that particular verse. So it's because we are still struggling, Bola, to have that kind of community. That is why some institutions are still absent. But if we keep working, keep sharing knowledge the way we are doing, I'm sure we'll get to that particular point where we are going to have all those institutions in place and will truly represent that Ummat and Wasatan that Allah wants us to be.
That's very incisive. All right, so the number again to call is 07000 917 917 07000 917 917. You can also send an SMS or a WhatsApp to the number 0703 175 6537 0703 175 6537. All right, so we are still discussing finding the balance, and our guest again is Dr. Sulaiman Ogunmuyiwa. So now I want you to probably explain, are there specific challenges or misconceptions that people face when striving for moderation and balance in their faith or personal relationships or daily lives, and how can they overcome some of these misconceptions?
Yeah, so we started addressing that when we were talking about, you know, some people going to one extreme and the other become a kind of mediocrity. When you want to situate moderation to laxity, it is not so. Again, you want to see balance as a one static, you know, situation. It is something that is dynamic. When you want to separate faith from faith and spiritual life, separated from mundane life. You know, it's not possible for us to separate them. And you only want to do moderation in things that are personal and not things that are
collective,
that has to do with the collective. You know, and also we believe that balance means equal time for everything. No, you can't have equal time for everything. What we're just saying is we have to try to make a balance depending on your need. So all this will now relate to certain challenges of extremism. When you don't understand, when you have these kind of misconceptions, that is why you see some people on the extreme, and either of the extreme of either side. You also have some people that are going through a lot of society pressure. You know, their friends or their neighbors or their colleagues want them to do a particular thing that is against their values, because you believe that, oh well, when I'm with my friends I can smoke and drink, but when I'm alone, no, I don't drink. When I'm alone, I don't drink.
So when you're alone, you behave like Romans.
So exactly. So you are unable to actually withstand the society pressure that comes. Then also personal habits. We all have different habits that makes it difficult for us to move away from this kind of things. And when you have some fears and anxiety, it also makes you not to be able to find moderation in your life, because you are afraid something is going to disappear or something is not going to be there. And finally is when you lack self-awareness, you really don't know yourself. So what can you do? Number one is, when you find yourself struggling with this kind of situation, seek advice from those who knows. Look for mentors, look for, you know, counselors, look for scholars, spiritual leaders to guide you on how to moderate. I give one quick example here. There's a brother who used to pray tahajjud very well. He wakes up around 3:34, but he got engaged with a job, and now he leaves home very early and comes back in the night. So when he sleeps, he won't wake up until around 5. So he gets bothered. Look at what I was doing before. Look at what I'm doing now. Is this job not a fit now, a problem for my life now? And he met his scholar. The scholar said, what is the period of the midnight prayer, the tahajjud? You can start from 3:30. If Fajr is 5:30 now, if you wake up at 5, you can still pray tahajjud. It's only 2 rakah. He said, do you know that even if you wake, if you are yet to sleep around 12 midnight, you can do 2 rakah tahajjud and it will be taken like you have prayed. He said, even if you fear that, when you finish praying your Salatul Isha, you can also pray tahajjud with the intention that if I don't wake up midnight, that will cater for it.
That suffices.
Now, because you went to somebody to educate you, to enlighten you about it. Look at the example of this hadith of a man that killed 99 people. And he was seeking for a balance in his life. He was looking for forgiveness. He wants to change. So he went to a scholar and said, can I get forgiveness? He said, you killed 99? You can't get forgiveness. And what did he do? He said, okay, let me cuckoo kill you to make 100. That was an extreme opinion. Now, he now went to another person, and that one now said, yes, you can find forgiveness, but it's not going to be in this city that you are. You have to migrate and move to another city. And you will see people praying. You will see people doing this. You will join them to do it. And this man sets out on that journey and died
on the road.
On the road. And when he died, two angels came. The angel of mercy and the angel of, you know, punishment. I said, this one is going to hellfire. I said, no, he has repented. He's going to paradise. He said, no. Then Allah said, okay, you know what? Send the third angel and said, go and measure from where he's coming and where he's going. Let us see where
he's closer.
And he was just closer to the where he was going by an arm's length.
Allah Akbar.
And with that, he was taken, his soul was taken by the angel of mercy. Meaning that there is no, we don't have any reason to hold any extreme position on anything, and you should always seek guidance. You know, try to be flexible with what you do, be open and be able to adjust to different circumstances that you find yourself, and surround yourself with supportive people. Build a community that encourages, you know, one another. And when you do this, you'll be able to achieve moderation and balance in the journey that you are embarking on.
Very quickly, you made mention of something the other time. You talked about self-awareness and self-reflection. What role do they probably have to play in achieving, moderation and balance?
Yeah, this is about the first step, and it is very, very important. If everybody in the community have not done a good self-awareness, we will not be able to see where everybody's strength is, where their weaknesses. And you know, the principle is you work on people's strengths more and not on their weaknesses.
Absolutely.
Now, when you work on their strengths, then it means that the community becomes stronger. If you waste time on their weaknesses, then it means we are going to continue to criticize ourselves and we are going to be struggling. You know, my weakness can be another person's strength. So why don't you just take on that strength and use it to block mine? So when we do self-awareness, it is going to help us to identify areas for improvement. It is going to help us to be able to recognize patterns and habits. It's going to help us understand personal values and personal goals. It's going to also help us develop emotional intelligence, which is the most important thing for any person to live successfully as a middle balanced community.
All right. So, on a final note, because we have been talking about finding a balance now, so for our listeners who are actually seeking to lead a life of moderation and balance, in accordance with this understanding of the middle community, the Ummah and Wasatan, so what advice would you give them, be it a Muslim, even for those that are not even Muslim? So living a balanced life is something that is probably imperative for everyone now to live a
Absolutely.
Meaningful life. So what advice do you have as a parting shot for everyone?
I have 10.
Wow.
Embrace the middle path.
Okay.
Always make sure that you avoid extreme positions. Cultivate self-awareness. Know yourself and try to know other people too. Prioritize relationship. Relationship is much more important to us. Practice gratitude. Always be grateful for what God has given you. Embrace flexibility, in relating with different circumstances. Take care of yourself, especially your mental health, so that you don't overburden yourself because you want to achieve something. Seek knowledge and wisdom in everything you do. Embrace humility. Be humble. Don't shy away from anything that has to do with arrogance, and always practice compassion, and finally trust in God.
Allah Akbar. Alhamdulillah. I love that note, that trust in God. You didn't come here by coincidence. You didn't just drop down here. it's God's design that you are here. So the God that actually designed that you'll be here has never and will never forget you. So put your trust in Him and all will be well with you. So on that note, I'd like to appreciate Dr. Sulaiman Olagokunmiwa, who has actually been our guest for today and sharing his thoughts on the topic, finding the balance. And I believe that with what we have listened to, we know quite well that you know, we don't have to be extreme in anything that we do. You know, be moderate, not at you know, any extreme, whether you are doing too much or you are doing less than expected. You know, doing just what is expected is the best for us, and with that we'll be able to live a meaningful life for ourselves and you know, in consonance and in you know, harmony with every other people that you have around you. And for the fact that, you know, that if you make your life extreme, you'll make it difficult for yourself and you also make it difficult for those that you have around you. So on that note, I'd like to appreciate you for coming, sir. And we hope that we'll still have more opportunities to actually tap from your wealth of knowledge. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continue to bless you and give you more knowledge and wisdom and guidance, grant you good health in this world, and also give you more life dedicated to the service of Allah and the benefit of the whole humanity. And to our listeners out there, we'd like to appreciate you for being a part of us today. We are here simply because we know that you are there. And without you, our being here would make no sense. So thank you very much for being a part of this. And to those who also sent in messages, although we're unable to get calls today, but at least for all those who sent in messages that we're able to take within the time available, we'd like to also appreciate you. It's been wonderful sharing this moment with you. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless the general of us, continue to guide us right, and grant us peace in our community and in the whole world. So inshallah, that's it on the program for today. Everyday Muslim inshallah will make it to you back next week, same time, 11 a.m. same station, WFM 91.7. I remain Abdul Hakim Qasim, and inshallah we'll see you next week. Bikratillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Sponsor this program, call the number 0816-480-7613.
Hi, WFM.